Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim is daf Ayin Beis, and we're holding really at the top of the daf, but I think it's worthwhile raising the question that we had on Ayin Alav Amud Beis first, because that is the introduction to our discussion. That's the point. So let's take a look at that again, and we'll start at the two dots, which are four lines from the bottom. Iboilu. So the next question the Gemara raised is, what is the meaning of gerushin? Now, the reason we do this, of course, is because the Mishnah specified that the case was, when it was talking about substituting a new oros for the old oros, so it talked about if he gave her a divorce, and then she gets remarried to a new oros. And the question is, which doesn't seem to be much of a question, because we just learned that the Mishnah says beferish, that in the case of a divorce, that nonetheless, the second Orus is able to be made for together with the Av. But we'll talk about that in a moment. But basically, the question is whether the act of divorce is essentially a Hakama. Because the way to look at it might be that in the same way that the Torah created this concept of a passive Hakama, what would a passive Hakama be? The passive hakama is that I just don't say anything for the rest of the day. And then automatically, it was as if I was making. So then, if I know that the divorce is going to end my rights to be made for a neder, so then that's the equivalent of keeping quiet until the time runs out. The divorce is going to be when the time runs out. And if that's the case, if the time running out is a hakama, so then the time running out because of the divorce is also a hakama. That's certainly one way of looking at it. And therefore, our question is, gerushin, is it only a shtika or is it kakama? So now the question is, okay, and what would be the practical difference? L'may nafkamina? The nafkamina would be kagon shenadra v'shama ba'ala v'girsha v'ahadra b'yume. So we need to know what would be if she made a neder. The husband hears about it. He is a mayfair. He's not mayfair. He does divorce her, and then he remarries her. And it's all on the same day. So now, if you're going to tell me that his divorce is not more than just silence on the issue, so that the day is still open, so then matzi mayfala. But if you're going to tell me that, well, he essentially ended his own rights, so then that's not passive. The Torah views that as an act of hakama. So then, once he was making, he can't be made for it to the end of the day. So there's a couple points that we need to clarify over here. We are not really talking about a husband. We're talking about the case in the Mishnah, right? Where he's an orus. If he's a husband, then none of this makes any difference. Because the husband, once he remarries her and his rights to her derive from a new marriage, there is no way for him to go and be mayfair any longer, because ein habaal mayfair bekodmim, remember? And this is kodmim to his current situation. So you'll say, all right, so maybe all he needs to do is to get re-engaged, so to speak. Remember, we use that word as a substitute for orus, but it doesn't really mean engaged. But maybe he just gave her kiddushin, and therefore, he could now be made for Bekodmim together with the Av. There ain't no Av. Because once he was married to her once, she was Yotzei Mirshus Av. And as we said before, if she's Yotzei Mirshus Av for 10 seconds, that's it. She never goes back. So therefore, the only way to understand our question is vis-a-vis the Arus, and not a Baal. That's point number one. Now, point number two is that the real reason that we're raising this here is because of the fact that this question is totally dependent on how we understand the Mishnah that we just had, correct? If the Mishnah that we just had that said, beferish, that our Mishnah is dealing with a case of an Orus who divorces her, that's what it says in the Mishnah, who divorces her, and then somebody else takes over, we have a new Orus, or the 99th bottle of Orus on the wall, whatever it is. So then that Orus is able to be made for together with the Av. The question is, does that mean that the original Orus knew about the neder when he divorced her? or he didn't know about the neder. That's essentially what we're asking here, but we're asking more than that. Because what it really boils down to is what Shmuel said yesterday. Is he right or is he wrong? What Shmuel said yesterday is that when it says that it has to be on the same day, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So when it says it must be on the same day, why did it say it must be on the same day? Did it say it must be on the same day because there will be no way to join up with the Av any longer, because the Av is already aware of the Neder? So for him, it'll be post-day. If it's post-day, he won't be able to join with the Orison being made for the Neder. Or is it because not the Av had heard, but the original Oris had heard, which is what Shmuel claims the meaning of the Mishnah is? Remember, that was our whole discussion yesterday, and that he was mekabel that approach to the Mishnah from his Rebbe, and that the entire meaning, therefore, of the Mishnah is to tell me that after Gerushin, where there's a new Orus, despite the fact that the original Orus knew about it, the new Orus is made for together with the Av. So there's your answer. You said that was the question. The question is, if an Orus, as we just explained, it has to be an Orus, if an Orus divorces, is that a Hakama? Well, according to Shmuel, the Mishnah says, no, it's not a Hakama. And if she gets a re-Orus today, then the father is able to join up with the new Orus, and he can be Mefer. So there's your answer. Gerushin was not a Hakama, right? That means that this question is therefore the question of whether we accept Shmuel's approach to the Mishnah or we do not accept Shmuel's approach to the Mishnah. This needs to be very clear, gentlemen, because it's really the underlying space of the following daf. This is what we're discussing. It all boils down to that question. You see, if this is not clear, please let me know that it's not clear, because this is the whole beautiful holistic view of what's happening here. The questions that are sitting there in our Mishnah that were not clear about how to read the Mishnah, which was the brilliance of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, who by simply leaving out one word has raised all of these issues in our mind. All of these issues come from that simple fact. He said that it has to be on the same day. Why? Could be because Daddy heard. Could be because Orus heard. That makes all the difference in the world, correct? Do we understand? Can you guys at least pretend it's as good as Sesame Street, damn it? Man. Jeez. Okay. So if, once again, please pay attention, and I'll say it again, because we really need to see this clearly. If the Mishnah meant that it has to be today because the Orus had heard about it today, then the Mishnah is saying that despite the fact that the Orus heard and divorced, the second Orus can join up with the father as long as it's on the same day, of course, because he'd already heard about it, the original Orus, can still be Mefer. There you go. So that's the answer to the question. Gerushin is not Hakama. Because if Gerushin were Hakama, then there's nothing to do anymore once the original Orus was making. You see? If, however, the reason that Rebbe said it has to be today was not because the Orus heard. Maybe if the Orus heard, there's nothing to do anymore. Maybe Gerushin is actually Hakama. The only reason that he said that is because the Orus didn't hear, but Daddy heard. And since in the end the Av is going to have to join up with the new Orus in order to be Mefer, it'll be post-day for Daddy. And therefore he will not be able to be Mefer with the Orus Acharon. Shmuel said, I know that you don't know, but I do know that the Mishnah is talking about where the Orus did hear. And nonetheless, it's given over to the second Orus, which proves categorically that Gerushin is not Hakama. So then that means that when the Gemara raises the issue, is Gerushin Kahakama, it boils down to the following question. Is Shmuel accepted or not? That's it. So when you look at the thing from beginning to end, you understand that that's the bottom line of the question that we're raising over here. And that's precisely why we raise it. Now, what the Gemara always does in these circumstances is it gets around to the Mishnah only at the end. Remind, we always first examine all of our options, because the question we pretend, or maybe it really is, it doesn't matter whether it's a literary device or whether this is the way that it developed, but the point is that we always raise the question as if it were raised outside of the context of our awareness of the Mishnah. We try to find all kinds of rayas, and then we finally get to the Mishnah, and then we say, well, but do we really know what the Mishnah means? Okay, so that's what we're about to do. So now you know the daf, and we can stop early. Now I guess it's kedai to read it inside, all right. Fine, we'll read it inside. Okay, so that was the question yesterday, and the only problem is that Baruch Avram is in serious, serious difficulties. He's got a lot of pain in his lower back. He's been sitting at the edge of his seat all night, as he said yesterday. Boy, does he got some pain in his rear. And it's been difficult. But the moment has come, Baruch Avram. It was well worth it.
Baruch Avram, you need one of these seat supporters. You put on your chair and give support, even when you're under the chair. Really helpful.
It looks more like an Osla cover to me. Okay. So we're up to today's new beginning, which is Tashma. So let's take a look at, first of all, we'll take a look at the Braita that we had before. Ematai amru meita bal nitrok nemreshut la'av. Remember that over there we studiously avoided discussing Gerushin in that Braita. We discussed what would happen if he died. Now that's not like the Mishnah. So maybe the avoidance of the word Gerushin is itself a proof. Why didn't we use the word Gerushin? Ah, that's an interesting approach. So let's look at the Lashon of Braita. Ematai amru meita bal nitrok nemreshut la'av. Bisman shelo shama habal. So then for sure, there's no problem. If he dies, then the father gets all of the rights that we learned, even from the simple pasuk, remember, of Binu Urei HaBeit Aviyah. We didn't even need to have the pasuk of Ve'im Hayo Tihiyeh, because that was the partial meaning of Binu Urei HaBeit Aviyah. So if he didn't hear, fine, for sure it goes to the father. But even if he did hear, and he was Mayfair, or even if he did hear, and he was quiet, we also know that if he died on that day, that it still goes to the father. How do we know that? That, as we said before, we know from Im Hayoti Makish, the Kodem Havaya Shnia to the Kodem Havaya Rishona, and that it's Kuloi Brushas Ha'av, even though now there was a Shmia of a Baal. This is a review of our whole beautiful understanding, so please keep it all in mind. Okay, now, here's my point, says the Gemara. If you believe that Gerushin is the equivalent of Shtika, then you should have added a big Kiddush of a case. Instead of saying that the Baal heard and died, why don't you even say a case of the Baal heard and divorced her? And then you would be telling me, wow, even if he divorced her, it could still go back to the father because Gerushin is not Hakama. Since you studiously avoided that case, I get the feeling that the reason that you avoided it is because it wouldn't be true. And if, in fact, the Orus had divorced her, that would have been a Hakama. And on that case, we would not have said Nitroken Rishut La'av, right? There's my proof. Lovely proof. So E. Amrit Gerushin is the same as Shtika. So you could have said a big Kiddush. Namely, add the case, oh, Shama v'gireish, that the Orus heard about it and divorced her. Since you avoided that case, that proves that Gerushin is kahakama. No, wait a minute. I mean, if the Braita would have ended at that point, you'd be right. But the Braita doesn't end at that point. I mean, for heaven's sakes, that's not fair. Keep reading. Ema Seifa. Now, but in the event that it was Shama v'kiyem, so if the Baal had heard about it was Mekayim, or if the Baal had heard about it and he was quiet till the end of the day and then he only managed to die the next day, so then Eino Yochel Ha'afer. Now I can make the same argument over there. If you're going to tell me that Gerushin is Kahakama, you should have added another big Kiddush case. Or even if the Baal heard about it, divorced her, and it's still the same day. It wouldn't have made any difference because Gershon, he's got to come out, but you didn't leave. So you didn't say a word about Gershon. You studiously avoided any mention of Gershon. So from there, I can prove the exact opposite. The reason you avoided mentioning Gershon is because, in fact, Gershon is not Kakama. It's exactly the same proof in both directions, depending if you look at the beginning of the Mishnah, if you look at the end of the Mishnah. So, Iyamrit Gershon Kakama Damo. Why don't you add the case Im Shama V'Giresh? So I can argue, Midaloka Taniyachi, since you refuse to discuss Gershon, that proves that Gershon is Kishtika, okay? So obviously, Ela Mihar Lakala Mishmamino, you cannot prove anything from this Braita. This Braita is simply avoiding the issue of Gerishin. So as to why we leave it out, don't mention it in either cases, which you could say, I mean, does that mean that the Braita is contradicting itself? No. Basically, it's if you hold that the Reisha is Dafka and that I'm leaving it out because in the Reisha we would not have said Nitrokna Rishut La'av, so then I can explain why I left it out of the Seifa, because I want to have the Seifa present the same cases of the Reisha, but in the inverse. So since I couldn't discuss Gerishin in the Reisha, I didn't discuss it in the Seifa. Or I could say exactly the opposite. If the Seifa is Dafka and Gerishin is Kishtika, so then I didn't want to say in the Reisha something that I would not be able to invert in the Seifa. So I don't care. The bottom line is drop this as a proof. It's irrelevant, okay? Can we move on, please? Fine. Tashma. Okay, I'll bring you another Raya. I mean, this is the ultimate Raya, isn't it? I mean, after all, this is basically the Raya from the Mishnah. So what about this case? Tashma. Nadra. She makes the neder. She's an Arusa. Nitgarsha v'nitarsa bo bayom. Nitgarsha. Nobody died. She got divorced. And now she got remarried. And this could happen 100 times, right? Afilu lemea. The din in the Mishnah is, daddy and last known husband may fear in nidareha. Okay, so Shmaimina Gerishin is Kishtika. If he, the father, can be mitzaref with the last husband, so then, boy, whew, hard enough remembering the name of your son-in-law when there's only one. I mean, good heavens. Number 99. Ay, ay, ay. So, okay, this guy is great at making simonim for himself. Anyway, so the last one and the father can go ahead and be made for the neder, even though it was after a Gerishin. Now, that proves to me that Gerishin is Kishtika. Because if Gerishin is Kakama, how can the Oros Aharon be made for a neder that was already Mikuyam by the Oros HaRishon? No, wait a second over here. You're making a big assumption. Your big assumption is that Shmuel is right. And that the reason that it said to the same day is because the first Oros had heard about it. Who said the Oros ever heard about it? Maybe the Oros never heard about it. If he never heard about it, then the fact that he divorced her can't possibly be a Hakama of a neder that he didn't know about. So therefore, maybe that's the point in the Mishnah. It's talking about Achama Eskinan Bishalom Shema Oros Rishon. What? So then why does it have to be on the same day? You see how we're climbing up to Shmuel, right? So, Yaki, why are we talking about the same day? Well, we're talking about the same day because daddy heard about it. He can only be made for the remains of the day and maybe even win a Pulitzer Prize. From this point on, he cannot be made for because it's after the remains of the day. But as far as the Oros is concerned, maybe if the first Oros had heard about it and was Megarisher, it would be the full equivalent of Hakama. But of course, what would that mean? It would mean that Shmuel was wrong, right? Because it would be leaving open the Mishnah to understanding that Bo Bayom was not telling us a Chiddush at all. It was just setting out the case. The case is that the father heard, and on the same day, there's now number 99, to be mitztaref with the father, that he can go ahead and be mitztaref. Fine, as long as it's on the same day. Excellent. But then Shmuel would be rejected. Well, so let's see. Tashba. Nadra bo bayom, girsha v'chzira bo bayom, eno yochol lahafer. Uh-oh. Here it says, Beferish, that if the husband was Megarish her, takes her back, then he cannot be made for it. Here it says, Beferish, he cannot be made for if he knew about it. So you see from here that Gerishin is Kakama, Beferish, right? No. What makes you think that the case over here, Moshe Andel, please mute. What makes you think that the case over here is talking about where it's an Orus? It's talking about a husband. And the reason you can't be Mefer is because it will now be Bekod Mim. A Baal cannot be Mefer a Neder that had existed prior to his current marriage. That's all. And even if he would try to only be an Orus at this point and would say, well, I'll hook up with Daddy. It's too late to hook up with Daddy. You were already married to her. And that meant she was Yotzim Rosh Sa'av. So therefore, who's to say, and the reason he can't be Mefer is not because Gerishin is Kakoma, it's because a husband is only able to be Mefer from the point of the latest Nisuin, which gives him the rights to be Mefer. So therefore, we have no Raya from here. Now, the interrelationship with Shmuel becomes very important, Benogea the Halacha, of this whole sugya. Because the Ramban says, well, since the Gemara leaves the question hanging, we haven't been able to prove it, right? We tried proving it from the Mishnah. We weren't able to prove it. Because we said, maybe we should explain the Mishnah as referring to the father's Shmiah and not to the Baal Shmiah. So we'll have to go L'chumra and we'll paskina. We don't know. And because of that, Gerishin will have to be viewed as Hakama. I mean, not for sure, so we wouldn't give Malkus on it, but we'd have to assume that. Says the Rashba, no, not right. Why should we give up on the previous sugya, in which Shmuel tells us clearly what his Kabbalah was about the meaning of the Mishnah? The Gemara seemed then to have accepted that as a proper way of understanding the Mishnah. And now, because we have a hanging question that we were unable to bring a raya from, you're going to tell me we're dropping what we know from Shmuel? So you'll say, well, I don't understand. If we really knew it from Shmuel, then why didn't the Gemara bring a raya from Shmuel? Why does it pretend that we don't know if, according to you, Rashba, we do know? Well, that's simple. When we are looking for a resolution of a question that is raised as an Iboilahu, we never look for an Amora that has an opinion on the matter. Iboilahu means I want to know either from a Mishnah or a Braita that this thing has been dealt with in the past, not that somebody's got an opinion. So I'm not going to bring you a Raya from Shmuel. However, I, the Rashba, will bring you a Raya from Shmuel. The Gemara won't bring you a Raya, but I mean, we're left with basically two sugyas. One in which Shmuel knows what the Mishnah means, and the Gemara was perfectly happy to accept that and looks for a Braita to bring a Raya to Shmuel. And the other with the Gemara outside of the context of the Mishnah raises the question and doesn't mention Shmuel because we're not interested in mentioning Shmuel. We're looking for a absolutely authoritative resolution. But Halacha L'maaseh, says the Rashba, obviously we'll rely on Shmuel. And Shmuel is clearly saying that the Mishnah is teaching us that Gerishin is not Kehakama. QED. So that shows you how the sugyas are deeply interrelated, which is why I gave you that long-winded introduction. Okay, so now we're all happy? Oh, gosh. I'm not sure whether Tiddlywinks would have done it better. Okay. Mr. Rogov, are you willing to do us a little bit of a, you know, not that, I'm talking about with a sword, maybe, or one of those sticks. Okay. All right. Now we've got a Sir Richard who's been waiting in the wings over here because he was very nervous about being nipped at. And he's going to give us, there we go. Now we can need to know another thing. The other thing is the way that we look. Ah, excellent. The way that, great. The way that we look at the interrelationship of the Hafara or the Hakama with the original Neder, and that it has to do with the consciousness of the father or the Baal, and Oros meaning, and that upon his death, the Hafara would be Batal, and so on and so forth, until, of course, it completed completed that far, was culminated. How does that work? Is it specific to the neder? Is that the point? In other words, I know what it is that you are thinking, so I have a theory of mine, and I stand against your theory of mine. Or does it work because of the fact that I don't want you making the dorim? Now, there's a big difference between the two. If the point is that I understand a theory of your mind and I'm able to utilize my mind to cancel it, I need to know what you're thinking. I can't theoretically say, listen here, baby, just in case you got any nedarim, I'm telling you right now, I'm canceling all those nedarim. I don't like you to have nedarim, even though I have no idea whether you have nedarim or you don't have nedarim. I wouldn't be able to do that, right? So this is a very important question about the underlying notion of hafara. And therefore, our Mishnah is going to raise the issue in the guise of teaching us the correct hanhaga. Derech tamidei chachamim. So now, daughter is about to be taken to the chuppah. If you are a Talmud Chacham, you call daughter aside and you say, Ad shelo hayta bito yotza mietzlo. Daddy, the limousine is here. Forget limousine, baby. I got something to tell you. This is my last opportunity to tell you something. I'm telling you right now, this is my chance to get rid of all those nedarim. Wait a minute. Does he know about those nedarim? It seems pretty clear. He doesn't have any idea whether there even are nedarim, right? He's saying, any neder that you made, I'm telling you right now, they're canceled. V'chein habal. The same thing would be true about the Baal, who was up until this moment that they're headed to the chuppah, he was the Orus. But now, once he's going to take her to the chuppah, he's not going to be able to be made for any of the Nedarim HaKodmim, right? Because he loses his ability to join up with the daddy. So he does the same thing. He says to her, listen, honey babes, you know, before we get to this chuppah, I want you to know that I've been talking to daddy. I know what he told you before you got into that limousine. Well, I'm telling you the same thing before you get under this chuppah. Any nedarim that you got, pow. I don't want to hear about them. Okay, so apparently the Mishnah is teaching us that the correct hanhaga is to simply cancel all nedarim. And apparently you can do that. Arein mufarim. Shemishit tikanes reshuto. Enu yachola afer. In the same way that the father won't be able to be made fair once the daughter leaves his reshus, so too the husband won't be able to be made for once the daughter, or the fiancé, is nichnas l'rishus. So this Mishnah is continuing the bipolar nedarim, so to speak, of the Nara Hamu'urasa. Great. Boy, Rami Bar Choma. Now again, outside...
What happened to them having to hear it?
That's what I just raised. I'm telling you that that's what the Mishnah is here to raise. What are you asking me? What have we just discussed? That's what the Gemara is now going to use the Mishnah to teach us. Duck fast!
Yes, I'm just saying. Ah!
But, Alon, be a good boy. So now, boy, Rami Bar Choma. Rami Bar Choma raises the issue outside the context of the Mishnah. Can a Baal, and when he says a Baal, he means the same thing would be true about an Oros, the same thing would be true about an Av. Can you be made for without even knowing about it? I mean, I know what the Pasuk says. Pasuk says, Vishama Isha. It talks about Biyom Shamo. I mean, it's all about having heard. But, I mean, does it really mean that he physically heard, or is just talking about, you know, that's the normal case? I mean, he only starts worrying about it when he hears that something happened. Oh my gosh, what is she doing? Right, it's not talk about waking up in the morning and the first thing you think about is maybe my wife made an enter in the middle of the night. Okay, so we're talking about the norms, right? Maybe. So is Vishama Isha, is that Davka or Lav Davka? Omar Rava. Hold on here, Rami Bar Choma. Did you forget Alon Rogov? He said, if you take a look at the Mishnah, it's telling you, Toshma, Derech Tamidei Chachamim, Ad Shelo Yatzat Bito Mietzlo, Omer La Kol Nedarim Shenadar Betoch Beiti, Harein Mufarim. But, how can he be made for an Neder he never even heard about? It's pretty clear from the Mishnah. He don't know anything about it. He's just telling her, you know, I don't like the fact that you have any Nedarim. and that that would be sufficient in order for him to be mefer, so that the Mishnah essentially is teaching you right off the bat, v'shama isha lav davka. So why are you raising the question if it's a beferish a Mishnah? So, seems to me that's your answer. So, derech tamid derech hachamim ad shlo yatzat bito mitzvah mekol adorim shadar ptarein mufarim v'olo shama. Well, says Rami Bar Chaba, it doesn't do it for me. Why not? Because maybe what he's saying is that, look, honey baby daughter, I want you to know that when I hear about it, then I'm going to go and I'm going to be made for them. So what's the point of telling her that? What do you mean, when you hear about it? I don't get it. I mean, so then fine, if you do hear about it, then you do hear about it. If you don't hear about it, it's not going to do you any good to say, when I hear about it, so then why did you even mention it? So im kein ki lo shama, if he doesn't know of any nidorin, so why is he telling her this statement? So lama lo lameimar? No, that's the point of the Mishnah. The point of the Mishnah is to tell me that even something, remember, we always take the easy way out, right? I didn't want to have to confront this issue. So I didn't hear about any Nadarim, so I ain't going to worry about any Nadarim. I mean, what, the last thing I'm going to tell my daughter as she heads out to the limousine is I'm going to start talking to her about how far is Nadarim? What are you, crazy? Okay, that's the easy way out. But the Derech Talmidei Chachamim is to be chozer. That's the point. Don't only allow yourself not to confront the issues. Try to unearth the issues that need confronting. That's the point. And that's an extremely important issue, isn't it? In child raising bichlal, wouldn't that be an important issue? You know what they say today, ask no questions. But that's exactly what's wrong. So what I'm trying to do is ask questions. You know, honey baby, I'm going to be made for any Nedarim that I find out about. Nedarim? You mean like when I said that I'm not going to buy anything in that store anymore? You mean like that netter? Or you mean the netter that I said that I'm not going to bring you your slippers in the morning anymore when I got angry? What, you're going to just cancel all of that? Not only that, baby, there may be more. Yeah, there actually are more. Okay, fine. So then he starts the ball rolling, gets into a big fight with his daughter on the way to the limousine, hears about all of her nedarim, and he says, okay, that's nedar number one. Okay, that's nedar number two. And then that way he gets rid of all her nedarim. So that's good for the Kiddush of the Mishnah. He wants to get the sugya into the open. I think that's a really valuable lesson. It's very, very nogea, isn't it? Anybody who's raised children, that is like the most difficult of all the issues. Nobody said anything. Let's pretend it didn't happen. Okay. So good. So this is the Derech of Talmidei Chachamim. Be confrontational. Alrighty. So wait a minute, says the Gemara. But now let's take a look at the Seifa. The Seifa says, V'chein ha-ba'al ad shelo tikanes l'rushuta. He says the same thing. How could he say the same thing? I mean, after all, he doesn't know that there are any Nedarim. Now, the question is, what are we doing asking the same question again? I don't understand. If the Baal is a Talmud Chacham, so he does the same thing. What's the question? Well, let's look at the answer, and then we'll see what's the question. The answer is that what he says is L'chi Shamana. When I hear about it. Now, he doesn't say, when I hear, I will be mefer. It's not l'chi shama. When he hears, he will be mefer. It's that the Baal said to her, l'chi shamana. That's a major difference. What that means is that I am being mefer now, that when I hear about it, it should be chal now, the hafara. What's the difference between the Av and the Baal? Oh, there's a big difference. Because the father can't possibly say that. Because at the time that he hears about it, she will be out of his rishus. But the Baal can say that. Because at the time that he hears about it, she'll be even more in his rishus than she was before. You'll say, but there's no father. But that's why I'm saying from now, when there is a father, while the father is ready to be made for, I want you to know I'm being made for it from now. As soon as I hear about it, pow, it should disappear automatically. That's the pshat. The father can't do that. So therefore, the approach would be totally different between what it is that the Baal would say and what it is that the Av would say. And there's a completely different understanding about it. And therefore, Toshma Miseifa. And you'll notice that it doesn't say in the Seifa anything about, so why bother? What do you mean, why bother? That's a ridiculous question if this is how we understand the Seifa. He's not bothering. He's doing it. He's being made for it. So that if 10 years later it comes to light that at that time there was neder ploni v'ploni, that neder becomes batal. And we're going to see later on that this is actually doable in that fashion, to be made for from me'achshav, when you know. Okay, this is how the Ran has the girsa, the way we have this girsa. There are other girsaot, which sort of just duplicates the question of the Av, because they didn't realize the difference. The Ran explains that this girsa is a marvelous girsa, taking into consideration the difference in the potential for the Hafara at the time that he does here. And as we'll see, as we go on in the Daf, this is something that indeed we are taking for granted. So let's take a look at the next Raya and we'll see how it is that we develop this idea. Okay. So then if that's the case, Tashma, let's take a look at another Raya. This Raya goes to a completely different source, in which we're talking about the question of what it is that you say in advance. And this is the Lashon of the Mishnah that we have coming up next week. So, ha'omer li'ishto, kol nedarim shetidori ad shavo mimakom ploni. The guy is about to go away for a long trip overseas. So he says to his wife, any nedarim that you make while I'm away, I'm telling you right now, I am a kayim them. You'll be stuck with them. Lo maklum. That's a meaningless statement. You cannot be makayim a neder that doesn't exist. So, makes no difference what you say. But if you say harehein mufarim, then, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, you can be mefer. Because if, I mean, doesn't this mean, by definition, that Rebbe Eliezer understands that the concept of a hafara is that I don't need to know anything about it. I don't need for the neder to be confirmed. I need to take away your power to make nedarim, and that's what I'm doing right now. So you see from here that even though you didn't hear about it, you obviously can be made for without knowing, because the hafara does not require a theory of mind. So it seems to be saying, well, says the Gemara, maybe we're talking about the same idea, that he says to her, as soon as I find out about it, then they should be mufarim. Well, I understand. So then let him wait till he hears about it. He comes back from his trip. He hears about it. And he says, I do hereby make for this neder. I mean, what would be the point of his telling her that if it's only going to go into effect if he does hear about it, right? Well, the reason is because he's afraid. Well, what if I don't respond? I mean, I'm coming in from a trip, right? I just got in from the airport. I've been through all my COVID tests. I mean, God, I am so worn out. And this is what she greets me with. Oh, honey, I'm so glad you're back home. You know, I got so angry at daughter number three and at son. Oh, I made a net. Leave me alone, will you? So basically, he's worried that he's going to be too busy at that point to really deal with this. So, kasavar, dilma matrita hishaita. I don't have kayak to listen to all of this nonsense. But because of that, he wants to say it in advance. All right. Let me bring you another riot. This guy, he puts someone in charge of taking care of the family. Okay, so he gives him over his bank accounts. He writes a power of attorney. He's got himself a trustee. So he tells his apotropos, look, forget about just paying the grocery bills. If you hear my wife making any nedarim, you take care of it and be made for it for me. Will you please? Okay, what's the din over there? Omer Lapotropos, Kol Nedarim Shenoderet Ishti Mikan Va'at Shavot. Till I get back home, Hafer, you go and be Mefer. Veferla. You might think, says the Tadakama, that that works. Yoko Yomu Farim. Talmud Lomar Isha Yekimena. Isha Yeferena. You and only you, hubby, is the one who can do it, not a shliach. So says Rabbi Yoshia. Omar lo Rabbi Yonatan, does this make sense? The whole Torah takes for granted that when it tells you to do something, that shlucho shel adam kamoto. So I don't understand. Well, here we don't say shlucho shel adam kamoto. Why wouldn't shlucho shel adam kamoto? Bechol haTorah kula shlucho shel adam kamoto. Now, the only reason that Rabbi Yoshia had objection to giving a power of attorney over the nedarim of your wife was because he understood the pasuk as being gzeirata katuv, that there is no power of attorney that will be able to allow someone else to do the hafarah. But if it weren't someone else, then there would be no problem. Why is there no problem? You never heard about the neder. If you didn't hear about the neder, how in the world can you give over the keach of being made for the neder about a neder that you can't be made for yourself? Always the halacha is that a shliach can only do what the mishaleach can do. But mi'ika mide, the mishaleach lo yachol avid ve the shliach could do? That's crazy. How can I say shlucho shel adam kamoto and allow him to do something that I can't do? If it's kamoto, then he should not be able to do it. Now, the obvious response to this, gentleman, which you're all thinking about, even if you're not thinking, but if you start thinking, you'll see that you are thinking. So, what you're all thinking about, believe it or not,
Rebbe is our shliach to do the thinking.
That's exactly what I worry about. So, what you're all really thinking about is, well, if you were able to hear the neder, you could be made for it. So you're giving over the rights of the apotropos hearing the neder and being made for it. So what's wrong? Let the hearing of the apotropos be the enablement. Well, when you think further into the sugya, you will recognize that the din of afara is not a din in hearing. It's a din that goes into effect upon hearing. You can't give somebody the ability to hear for you. Because if you could, you could save a lot of time from the bathroom, for heaven's sakes, right? So what the heck? I mean, so obviously, first comes the physical reality. Did you hear or did you not? When you hear, you can then appoint someone to do what it is that you are unable to do. But you are not unable to do it. So how could you give it to the apotropos? So that's a silly question. Therefore, the fact that we see over here that even according to Rabbi Yoshia, the only reason you can't give it over to the apotropos is because of the gzirat hakatuv, namely that it says isha yekimena, the isha yeferena. So it must be that otherwise it would be fine. Kuli Alma would agree that shlucho shel adam kamoto. But what do you mean kamoto? He himself can't be made for it because he never heard about it. V'ha lo shmiale. So therefore, how could he give it over to the apotropos? Well, now, I can answer that proof as well. Al-Khanami, the Amar Lelechi Shamana Meferla. He tells the apotropos, all of the Nedarim that my wife will take upon herself while I am away, you tell her that that's going to be Mufar, but that the Hafara will only be Chal when your husband comes back and hears about it. I mean, okay, so what's the point? I mean, he can't say it's mufar because he won't have the right to be made for it at the time that the husband comes back because the power of attorney was only until I come back. So as the Gemara said, what's the point? So then if he said l'chi shamana, so then l'chi shamar leferla, so then let him do so. I don't understand. No, here too the problem is, that guy is worried. Dilma Matridna. I may forget to actually do the hafara at the point that I come back. And therefore, he says it to make sure that he is pushed into that position. Fine, okay, if that's the case, then einar chinami. He could be give over as a shliach. It wouldn't be for gzeirat hakatuv. He could give over to a shliach to create a situation which will go into effect only when he was unable to do it retroactively. Fine, that's also a possibility. Now, we'll discuss more about this later when we talk about the Mishnah, about the machlokas as to whether it is actually possible to be made for these nedarim in advance, that even though he didn't hear, the meaning even though they weren't chal yet, whereas everybody agrees you can't be mekayim when they weren't chal, we haven't discussed yet, as the Gemara will, well, what's really the difference between kiyum and hafar and so on. We raised possibilities. We haven't gone into it deeply, and we will go, Bezrat Hashem, into that at that point. However, now we are at that sad moment in which it's time to say goodbye for the day at least. So I still look forward to meeting with you again tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, and give you a chance to keep thinking. Not the way you've been thinking until now. I shouldn't say to keep thinking. I should say to start thinking. Okay, have a great day, everybody. And it's always wonderful. We do have fun. Kol tov.